It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. More layoffs have hit Wisconsin's television news industry. Los Angeles-based Allen Media Group owns stations in four Wisconsin markets. Last month, it reduced the size of its newsrooms in La Crosse, Eau Claire, and Wausau.
The latest round of layoffs has changed the way these stations cover news in their broadcasts, furthering a trend of declining local news coverage across the country.
We're checking in on what these losses mean for the communities they cover with Mike Wagner, professor and director of the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal at the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Mike, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
It's great to be here.
We think about local news declines in the newspaper industry. Thousands of local newspapers shuttered since 2005, but we're seeing local television facing similar declines. Is that right?
We're seeing local television stations experience less investment from their owners, and so reporters are tasked with doing more stories for more newscasts, plus do stuff for the web, plus do stuff for social media, all in the job of also trying to chase down the verifiable truth about important matters for their audience. And so it's getting harder and harder for local television journalists to accomplish that goal, given all that they're asked to do in an increasingly difficult economic environment.
Is it clear what's causing revenues to decline for local television? What do you see out there?
It's not even the case that revenues are all declining. Many local television news stations are extremely healthy. Local television news is still the most watched and most trusted source for information. That's true in Wisconsin, and it's also true nationally. There's increasing economic pressures to not just make money, but to make more money. And each time a local television station makes more money, especially after an election year where there are lots of campaign ads that help generate revenue, there's increasing pressure to keep that going. But of course, there's less of those kinds of ads happening in the off-election years. And so when there's a little bit of a reduction in what stations might make, they might think that they're doing worse, or at least their boards might think that they're doing worse than they really are.
Well, let's put a finer point on that. The Wesleyan Media Project tracked spending in the November election. They found TV ads dominated federal and statewide election spending. And with record-setting advertising, $770 million going toward ads on local and national
cable networks.
So is that trickling down to local TV news operations?
Trickling is probably the right word. It's not supporting them in the way that it could. And it's often the case where larger companies are buying up more and more stations. They want them to be more profitable, and gathering the news and doing a good job of it is expensive. And so reducing reporters, cutting the number of producers, cutting people who are, you know, photojournalists and camera operators, those are all ways that you can make a little bit of money and also reduce the quality of your product. And they hope not by enough to lose viewers, but we're getting close to a tipping point, I think.
Allen Media, they own the four stations in Wisconsin, and they're operating in 22 markets across the country. And the company told the LA Times last year in a statement that it's making strategic changes to position the company for growth that will result in workforce reductions across all divisions. So can you kind of parse that language? How do layoffs help a broadcast company grow?
I think what they mean is we're going to fire reporters, producers, and photojournalists so that we can do lower quality news that looks close enough to what people are getting now that we hope they don't notice.
What does that do to a community?
Local television news and local newspapers and local radio are information that can bind communities together. So much of our politics is nationalized, and by that I mean polarized and deeply divided. And so when people go to national sources for information, it's very much my team versus your team. What can we learn about the other side that's terrible? What can we do to brag about our side? Local news is one of the last places that's widely trusted by the left and the right, that's widely used by the left and the right, and also covers things that aren't just about politics, but are about snow removal and high school sports and the local weather and people doing things in the community that might need a little bit of help to do some good. And being able to tell those stories and do so in a way that's trusted and credible is critically important to bind communities together. And local news also provides critical information about local issues. People need to know if they have to boil their water before they drink it, or if there's problems in their school board, or if there's embezzlement happening at City Hall. And so these are all things people need to know to make good decisions as citizens, whether it's can I drive down Monroe Street today, or is it going to be closed, to what kind of education are my kids getting? What kind of services is my city providing for me?
I think you're also pointing to this notion that it's really hard to cover a community when you're not in the community.
It's so hard.
And I'm wondering, what are those ripple effects when the content is coming from the outside, or it's generated from, you know, some other place, when it's not locally generated from a journalist who's living it?
Everybody knows that you have a better experience when you are at something than when you are virtually at it, right? If we're in a meeting and we're face-to-face, then you know that I'm not going to take out my phone and just start scrolling while we're talking, right? But if we're on Zoom, I can do that. And if I hold my phone under my camera, it still looks like I'm looking at the screen, but I'm still scrolling, right? And so local news is a place that prizes being there and seeing things, but also it prizes having that community knowledge, knowing what has happened in the past. Is the reason this issue is coming up because it was contentious in the past? Is the reason this issue is coming up because it was a campaign promise from the person who won the mayoral race or county executive race or something like that? And if you don't have that knowledge, which local reporters tend to have way more than the average bear, then we don't get the kind of detailed and informative reporting that helps us know how do we hold our public officials to account.
Is there still a glamour to TV news, of being on TV in 2025, or has the rise of social media influencers and streaming really changed that perspective?
It's a little different in that anybody with a camera phone can digitally broadcast themselves on social media at a moment's notice. But there's still something that's different about being on local television news. And that's the same with being on the radio or being in the newspaper. It's official, right? It has the gravitas of people get in trouble if what they tell you on these platforms is false, right? Mm-hmm. People can lose their jobs. Whereas if I'm just streaming whatever I want to on Instagram or TikTok, I can't lose my job as a influencer by saying things that aren't true. I might lose audience members, but I don't lose my job in the way that a reporter does. And so when it's on television, it's something that other people see. It's something that we expect to be true. It's something where we expect there to be consequences if something isn't true. And so there's a little bit more of an elevated sense of importance when things are in the news media versus when they're just on social media.
You're around so many students on campus. I wonder, what are their thoughts? What kind of news, what kind of journalism do they want to get into now as they see these layoffs?
A lot of our students are getting interested in data journalism, so telling stories, telling visual stories with evidence. So some of that might be doing data visualizations. Some of that might be doing kind of crunching spreadsheet numbers, or doing the kind of thing you might see on 538 or on Vox. That's something that's grown more popular. And then more niche outlets where people are focused on a particular area of expertise. A lot of my former students have gone into banking reporting or reporting about the Air Force, right? So specific things where there are not a lot of places that you can report, but the people who want that information really want that information.
So as you step back and you look at Wisconsin's local news industry, what strikes you? How is it doing?
Well, it varies by where we are in the state. Like Madison has a really robust information environment with lots of different kinds of sources for news about state and local politics and neighborhood politics and race and gender and all those kinds of things. But then you get into other parts of the state that are more rural, and their newspapers might be weekly or online only. Their television stations are doing what Allen Media is doing and cutting a lot of local reporters and hoping that their affiliates in a larger city can fill in the back end of newscasts. And so the quality of the information environment varies. Public radio, public television are kind of constants across the state. And then local, true what's happening in our county, that varies quite a bit by largely by how many people live there and how close they are to a metro area.
When you see decisions at local media outlets, for-profit outlets, these media holdings make decisions looking like it's based on revenue, is that worrisome to you as a journalism professor?
It really is. I mean, I understand that businesses are, you know, first and foremost in business to make money. But the news media, newspapers, radio, television, especially radio and television, where they're on the airwaves, that are part of a public trust, there used to be a sense of it was okay to lose a little bit of money in this kind of endeavor so that we provide critical information to people so they can make good decisions about how to live their lives and who they want to support. And once it became clear that television news could make money, that became the expectation instead of how can we do really robust, detailed, high-quality investigative stories. And when you cut newsrooms, it is way easier to go, well, crime, weather, sports. Those are easy things to cover. We can do it all day, every day on the cheap. Whereas what's happening in our government? What's happening to our kids in school? What are the long-term trends of stuff that we care about as a community in terms of our health, our education, our economic, success and failure? There you got to have reporters digging, and that is costly. It takes time. And instead, what TV stations are doing are adding newscasts. So instead of adding reporters, they have a 4, a 5, a 6, and a 10, and a noon, and a morning show. And so it's really difficult to fill all of that time with thoroughly reported stories when you have a skeleton staff.
With that in mind, what are you watching for industry-wide in 2025? What might we expect?
Looking for tipping points. Are there newsrooms that have been cut so much that they start to lose audience to stations that are doing a better job of covering local markets? So you know, most places don't have competing newspapers in the way that Madison does, right? Mm-hmm. But they have competing television stations. And so people do have a place to go with their eyeballs at 7 in the morning, noon, 5, 4, 5, 6, and 10. And so I'll be looking to see if the places that have been cutting lose viewers.
Mike, thank you so much for your insights. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Mike Wagner is a professor and director of the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal at the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. We've been talking about recent layoffs in TV news in Wisconsin and how it affects the communities they cover. Now we'll zoom in on one of those affected communities to find out how local news coverage is changing. Tom Giffey is managing editor of Volume One. That's a biweekly culture and entertainment publication for the Chippewa Valley. He previously covered politics and business for the Leader-Telegram in Eau Claire. Tom, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
It's great to be here.
Allen Media Group didn't make a formal announcement of these TV layoffs at WQOW in Eau Claire and elsewhere in Wisconsin. How did the community start to find out?
Well, they found out when they tuned in one evening back in about a month ago in December and noticed that there were some folks missing that they were used to looking at up here at WQOW, which is the ABC affiliate. Notably, that was Keith Edwards, who has been on television for well over a decade and before that for a couple of decades in local radio. So he is perhaps one of the most recognizable folks in town, and suddenly, without any explanation, he wasn't there.
Being in the local community as a journalist and being on the air locally for decades, as you mentioned, with Keith Edwards, what did he mean to the community, and what do you see as the impact of his loss?
I mean, he meant, obviously, in a media market like this, a relatively small media market, people come to know, or at least feel they know and trust people like him who have been around, and giving them the news, good and bad, for years and years. As a journalist myself, somebody who I worked a long time at the daily newspaper in town, I mean, he was somebody that was roundly respected among journalists as well for being, you know, not just a guy on the radio or a guy on TV, but somebody who could work his sources and could get stories that other people would be, competitors would be envious of. So he's somebody who had, both the polish you need in broadcasting as well as the shoe leather skills as a journalist that that are important to have in a community. So it was a big loss. And of course, he wasn't the only one, as you referred to. There were other folks laid off here and other folks at, I believe, in Wausau and La Crosse at stations that have the same owner.
Hmm. You know, overall, how do you evaluate the strength or the health of local media coverage? Because you're in it, you're living it as well. What do you see?
I mean, it certainly has declined over the years. I mean, we are what you might consider a little bit of a non-traditional media outlet. We cover arts and entertainment, but as well as some hard news and community goings on that might have been covered by more traditional outlets in the past, but they simply don't have the folks anymore. You know, the daily newspaper here in town, like many, the Leader Telegram, still soldiers on, but there are far fewer people in the newsroom than there were 10, 20, 30 years ago. And the same, of course, is true for the commercial television stations, the commercial radio stations, which have virtually no local news, or very little anyway. So we are certainly a microcosm of many other communities coast to coast that, you know, have suffered that decline, you know, and we can certainly point at the internet and social media and plenty of other factors, but to quote a cliche, it is what it is here. And it's the same all across the country.
Hear, hear. Yeah. Tom, as we wrap up, I mean, it always seems like these conversations of a shrinking local news environment, you know, there aren't many bright spots, but where do you see hope? Where do you see potential?
I mean, there is creativity out there. You know, as I alluded to, the elephant in the room is the internet and all that local advertising money that used to flow into local broadcasters and local newspapers. When I started in this business 25 years ago, you know, you had a great big fat Sunday paper with all the auto dealerships and real estate ads and all that stuff that has largely gone away because those people are advertising on the internet. But that money is still there, and there are creative people trying to do creative things. I hope we are would be considered among them. But, you know, for example, in our coverage area is the city of Menominee, which is considers itself, local folks have kind of declared themselves a news desert. And there's a couple of nonprofit and startup things happening in that town to do coverage online and push it through social media. And I think that's happened a lot. You have, you know, standalone journalists who do work and, you know, get themselves supported, whether it be a podcast or a Substack or any of those things. And so I think there is hope in creativity, but the media environment looks a lot different than it did. And it certainly, if you look down the road in a few years, it's going to look even more different. And hopefully there will be people with the creativity and the entrepreneurship to fill those gaps.
Well, Tom, good to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, and thank you for the opportunity.
That is Tom Giffey, managing editor of Volume 1. It's a biweekly culture and entertainment publication for the Chippewa Valley, with us to look at how media coverage has changed in Eau Claire as local news outlets have seen cutbacks. And earlier, we talked to UW-Madison journalism professor Mike Wagner about what's driving layoffs in the local TV news industry.